You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We've got all the things you need: rankings, sleepers, busts, steals, all the buzzwords we need to dominate our fantasy football drafts here in 2022. And while you're on the clock and looking at the rankings, there are some tough decisions to be made all across the board. That's what we've been focusing on across positions this week. We looked at quarterbacks and running backs on our previous two shows. Now the spotlight is going to fall on wide receivers. So we're going to take six close calls here and really examine where we want to go. And we're using half-point PPR as our interest here to split the difference between standard and full PPR, and also stick to the standard that's on Yahoo Leagues right now as well, which most of you are playing. So keep that in mind as we're breaking it down. That's how we're looking at it. So examining the volume of receptions, but looking also at the overall production in terms of yardage and touchdown. So we'll break down those six key debates, including right at the top when you're deciding on the first wide receiver one off the board. So we'll get into that. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We are free and available to you on all platforms, including YouTube. All right, let's dive right in to right at the top. This has been interesting to watch here. Cooper Kupp had been the consensus number one overall pick at wide receiver for a long time, no matter what format you've been in this entire offseason. But then it's happening. People are realizing Justin Jefferson might be the better pick here in 2022. Now, Kupp, amazing season, historic season. He was a league winner. If you got him in the fourth round, he was a great value for you, connecting beautifully with Matthew Stafford, dominating targets. One of the best seasons we've ever seen at wide receiver in the Jerry Rice realm of production there. So Cooper Kupp had an amazing season. It is tough to recreate that, especially when you go into age 29. And you're gonna have some more help here. Keep in mind that Robert Woods went down with the ACL. You also had Odell Beckham Jr. need some time. He was more of a role player there at the end, playing off of Kupp. And really, they didn't throw as much to the tight ends. The running game was a little bit questionable here with the injury to Cam Akers. So everything lined up beautifully for Cooper Kupp, including the quarterback upgrade to get the ball to him downfield from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford. So everything lined up perfectly. Big year. He also stayed healthy. He had a torn ACL in his past. He's been banged up before. So everything lined up well. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get to 140 receptions, that level, ever again. I think he's still going to be a high-volume wide receiver here. Allen Robinson, kind of a disinterested year with the Bears last year. I think he'll get a good chunk of targets, but they're trying to fill in the rest here. Van Jefferson slowly coming back from a knee injury now that he's had in training camp. So you figure a lot of things could stay the same here for Cooper Kupp. We're a little bit maybe concerned about the Stafford elbow injury that's popped up here. I wouldn't read too much into it. So there's some things that you're going to look at Kupp to nitpick a little bit, because we want to know if he's worth the investment to repeat the season. Well, another guy shot past the century mark, not quite at the high level of Cooper Kupp last year, was Justin Jefferson. But what happened to Justin Jefferson this offseason? He got Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator there under Sean McVay. We saw how successful the Rams were at their offense, targeting one guy over and over. Kirk Cousins is locked into Justin Jefferson now. Adam Thielen, he's got the touchdowns, but you look at the yardage and targets, they're pretty limited. They're still figuring out the third receiver in the new offense between KJ Osborne and others there in this mix. At tight end, Irv Smith still coming back from the knee injury there that they might ease him into the receiving action here, as he's a key blocker for this team. So that says that Justin Jefferson can have a monster share of targets here in the Vikings offense. They're going to open it up, throw downfield. They definitely want to pass a little bit more. We've talked about Dalvin Cook and his value there, getting him into the open field more as a receiver. So there's going to be more dynamic element. Jefferson is an all-time explosive receiver here in his first two seasons. So I think he builds on it. Fresh legs in his prime. I think if you go for pure physical talent, Jefferson is better than Kupp at this stage, and he's younger and less injury prone right now. I mean, Kupp got through the whole season healthy. He also played a very deep season. Keep that in mind when he had all those games in the playoffs on top of the long regular season. That was a lot for Cooper Kupp. So he could be worn down a little bit. He's getting a little bit older. So we're going to go towards Justin Jefferson. I think when you look at the receptions, there's a chance that Jefferson outcatches Kupp here. I think yardage-wise, he's a big average type guy, so he should do that. The only thing missing here is the big touchdown year. And he had 9 last year, so that says that Justin Jefferson get there. So I'm feeling with Jefferson. Again, look at the offense. Same type of offense. Kupp and Jefferson are in. I think Jefferson right now has the higher upside. I think Kupp has probably capped himself there from what he did in 2022. All right, the next debate we're going to look at here in this first segment that is of note to me, CeeDee Lamb versus Deebo Samuel. Now, after you get past Jefferson and Kupp, you have Ja'Marr Chase, you got Stephon Diggs, you got Davante Adams. I think any of those guys are fine picks there once you get past that Kupp-Jefferson debate and take the other guy, number two, and then go with one of those elite receivers. But there are really 7 receivers you can look at here that have good value that you want to target. We got to determine CeeDee Lamb. Where does he fit in this and the Cowboys and his role? And you have Deebo Samuel. So let's weigh this one. Deebo was an absolute stud there, partly because of his rushing production with the 49ers last year. So he finished pretty high. He was a good value, like Kupp and Chase in fantasy. Now, CeeDee Lamb, what are the situations that are happening there? Same offense with Kellen Moore opening it up. He's a first-round pick. Amari Cooper's gone. Michael Gallup's on the mend. Jalen Tolbert is a rookie. James Washington is hurt. Dalton Schultz is your next best reliable target at this very moment with experience and seasoning in the Cowboys' offense. So CeeDee Lamb, the one thing missing is he wasn't as big of a red zone threat as we would have liked last year, but the target share should be pretty enormous here for CeeDee Lamb. He's going to be used all over the field. He can go inside and outside, so that's going to help. I think he'll just improve as a receiver overall and develop improved chemistry here with the Dakota Prescott, Dak, or Buddy. So when you look at that, it's looking really good for CeeDee Lamb. They have a lot of vacated targets, not just from Cooper, but if Gallup doesn't play for a while, and he was hurt for some of last year as well, you don't have Cedric Wilson, you don't have Malik Turner. You're working in totally different guys here. Lamb has the familiarity from Dak Prescott, so everything points towards Lamb. Now let's look at the other side of the coin with Deebo Samuel. Do we expect him to run as much? I don't think so. Elijah Mitchell, kind of established here. They also have a youngster, the rookie Tyrion Davis-Price, that could get some work. Jeff Wilson is going to be in the mix still here for the team. Trey Sermon could reemerge a little bit in the running game. We'll see if he's on the team. But again, the 49ers should be more traditional about the running game. And what else has changed about the running game? Trey Lance. He's in there. So another source of touchdowns in the red zone. Lance running with Mitchell. And again, Lance, maybe less of those shorter passes and maybe a few just designed runs for him this season. So Samuel's been awesome, but I think he's going to be back to his receiving role primarily here. They're just not going to wear him down that way. You don't want to break it down that way. We saw Cordell Patterson. He's an older player and saw some of the wear that he took last season. They don't want to put that on Deebo. He's a young player. They need him in the offense. They want some big play from this offense. George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and the rising rookie Danny Gray here. So Deebo has some competition for targets, especially if Kittle can stay healthy, Ayuk and Gray and Juwan Jennings. So there's some guys that can cut into that. Less rushing opportunities there to pad the stats for Samuel. So now this decision is pretty easy in that next kind of tier of wide receivers. Once you get past Diggs and Adams, Lamb versus Samuel, the answer is clearly Lamb. And I would not be surprised if Lamb finishes up there in the top 3 as a wide receiver. One, that's how big his role could be. And his talent is off the charts. Keep that in mind. I mean, it's funny, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and CeeDee Lamb. It was interesting tie-in with what we asked for them at the Super Bowl from Sporting News. Saw them all do the gritty, and I think they're all related to me, that all these receivers are those lanky, super talented guys that can do things, very superb athletes. They can dance, they can make big plays, just can catch the ball over everyone, make big plays, stretching the field after the catch, and deliver in the red zone. So that's why I think Jefferson, Chase, and Lamb, the future of this position here in the NFL, as Kupp, Diggs, and Adams get a little bit older here. So We'll break down our next couple big wide receiver debates here while we're on the clock for our fantasy football drafts in 2022. We'll do that in our second segment here on Locked On Fantasy Football, then close the show a little bit deeper down the draft board there. So six debates in all we'll cover here, and we'll get to the tight ends there for you on tomorrow's show. Before we do that, I got to tell you about a new sponsor here at Locked On Fantasy Football. It is LinkedIn. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. And this is a great way to get the team that you want in place to have the most successful business. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of more than 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, it is time to continue the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football and breaking down the big debates that we want to examine and make a call on here on the Fantasy Football Draft Board at wide receivers. And I've got a big thing coming up here on the network. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. However you play, get the latest NFL fantasy draft tips from Locked On Fantasy Football right here on this show and Locked On Dynasty, our sister show. Plus, starting August 22nd, that's next Monday, we're bringing you daily top 10 lists for fantasy draft week. That's right, we'll have daily top 10 lists to help you dominate your draft, including my rankings and our consensus rankings. We'll share that for you next week. Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Dynasty, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. So excited about that. Good team up here with the two shows next week. All right, let's get into our next set of wide receiver debates. The next one is Mike Evans versus Tyreek Hill. All right, so Mike Evans, Magic Mike, is the number one unquestioned receiver for the Buccaneers. He's a 1,000-yard machine. He's a multiple touchdown machine. He's a double-digit touchdown machine here. Every season, Evans brings it. He's had two fantastic, good overall years with Tom Brady, the GOAT, as his quarterback. One more year it is here in 2022. You have Chris Godwin on the mend. You're trying to figure out the other receivers. Russell Gage looks like he will be the number three. A lot of depth behind those guys, including Julio Jones. And then at tight end, you lose O.J. Howard, and he leaves in free agency to the Bills. Rob Gronkowski retires, but you bring in Kyle Rudolph, you draft Cade Otton, and that adds to one Cameron Brait there. So Mike Evans, however, the bona fide guy that he's going to look to, Brady that is, for that catch radius in the red zone, making big plays, stretching the field on the outside. Evans' role has not changed. Whether it's Jameis Winston or Tom Brady, that's the type of receiver he is. That's what he was coming out of Texas A&M as Johnny Manziel's downfield target. Big dude, can run, can position his body well to score. The ideal fantasy football receiver with his catch radius. So Evans is still going to bring it. So you're looking at a very nice floor for Evans. I'm looking at 1,200 yards, probably another 10 to 12 touchdowns easily here for Evans, and could be even a bigger role if a Godwin needs a little bit of time to recover and Gage needs a little bit of time to get fully immersed in this offense. Remember, Brady's missing this training camp part. Gage's look pretty good. I think they can reheat the connection when it comes to the regular season, but interesting, Brady's missing this time, so it kind of hurts the receivers on their end settling in and getting the trust from Brady as much. So Evans is going to be locked in for at least that. So we have to see if Tyreek Hill can hit those numbers there. And keep in mind, we're talking about Evans' floor with those numbers, 1,200 and at 10 TDs. Yeah, so Tyreek Hill, are we going to get that? We have now a new offense, losing Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Dolphins are going to be nearly as prolific. You're not going to have as much of a passing yardage total from which to pull numbers. So that's something you have to consider. the quarterback downgrade from Mahomes to Tagovailoa. You got Jalen Waddle, similar receiver, Mike Gesicki getting some targets there. They could be run heavy with Chase Edmonds and some others in this backfield, Sonny Michel, Raheem Mostert. So there's that. You have a tough defense of division here with the Bills, Patriots. I think the Jets will be a little bit better. So all that you consider. So Tyreek Hill, I think you have to pump the brakes. I mean, I love Mike Evans, and he's a little bit more of a safer pick for me. I think Hill also has had some soft tissue stuff pop up with the hamstring and some things that have been a little bit more concerning. Evans typically has played through all that. I mean, he's had his own hamstring issues. So when I look at the durability issues, they haven't been there with Evans. With Brady, he's got the GOAT. Hill downgrades the quarterback significantly here. So my choice here that I feel comfortable with, because of floor and the ceiling also having a little bit more appeal, is Mike Evans over Tyreek Hill. All right, we love catch radius, big dudes that can go up and get the ball, also stretch the field. We talked about that with Mike Evans. So he gets the advantage over the little slot guy with the lesser quarterback here. Courtland Sutton, DK Metcalf here is another great debate. Sutton, in one corner, you have this guy that can go up and get the ball, has been effective red zone receiver, but also has that outside perimeter speed to make big plays. DK Metcalf has given us all of that here with the Seahawks. What is the correlation here? Well, DK Metcalf lost Russell Wilson and gains Drew Lock, if you call it a gain. And you have Courtland Sutton gaining Russell Wilson. Goodbye, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock from this mix here. So to me, of all the Broncos receivers, with the way things have gone down, with Tim Patrick being lost on the outside, Jerry Jeudy on the mend and trying to get a little bit better in the slot, Courtland Sutton has been the constant to me, and he's the one coming back from the torn ACL. We thought he would have had a big season last year as a wide receiver two, even at the quarterback situation. Courtland Sutton can put up wide receiver one numbers. He has that kind of ability with his body type. I think Wilson and Sutton are going to be a big deal this season. That's going to be the big source of their fantasy football production. I'm a little bit down on Wilson because the other weapons, figuring out between Jerry Jeudy, Albert O, Greg Dulcich, anybody else that's in the mix now, you have KJ Hamler. We don't know exactly what we're going to get from these peripheral targets, but I know that Wilson is going to pepper Sutton with a lot of targets in key situations and good places to score, good places to stretch the field and make big plays. DK, I love DK. I think he's the better player in terms of talent, but you cannot ignore that Geno Smith might be starting or Drew Lock in there. Lock has a bigger arm, and that would bump up Metcalf a little bit more, but if it's Geno needing to start, that's troublesome there for DK. So there's that. So DK almost going through the same thing Courtland Sutton is, that where you had Bridgewater versus Lock, and now it's kind of similar with Smith and Lock in the mix. So arm limitation of the quarterback, not a good thing. Just limitations in general with an offense that wants to be back to run heavy. It might change a little bit with Ken Walker banged up and Rashad Penny banged up. So it's not very good offensive vibes there in Seattle, where I think you have to say there's a bump up in Denver playing off the running game with Javonte Williams, pretty decent offensive line with Garrett Bowles. Courtland Sutton, I think, is going to have the bigger year than DK Metcalf. And there is going to be similar usage from both these guys, but again, Geno might bring down Metcalf a little bit more. We know Wilson is pretty durable. Just for last year was the only exception to that rule. His final year in a decade in Seattle. So Courtland Sutton is where I'm feeling it here for sure. And he could be an absolute steal, because it would not shock me if he finishes in the back end of the top 12 this season. All right, there you have it. There's two more debates for you with wide receiver here that we have to think about when we're on the clock. We'll get a little bit deeper down the board into the wide receiver two threes, kind of in that range here in our final segment on today's show, Lockdown Fantasy Football. Don't forget, we'll do the same to close the week with tight ends on Friday. All right, before we do that, I have an important message for you from the NHTSA. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home, okay? It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You tow your car. You kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel when under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, it is time to close the show here, and we'll look at two more wide receiver debates here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We have a battle between two Alabama receivers, so we did just address one Bronco that I really like in Cortland Sutton. Here's another one, Jerry Jeudy. He's got to adjust here to Russell Wilson. He's been a first-round pick. He's got some very good talent, route-running ability, but some off-the-field stuff that has happened. Jeudy's been a bit unfocused. He hasn't been rather durable. Here, on the other side, you have Amari Cooper, the original version of Jerry Jeudy. Kind of the signs of the Alabama offense would be a wide receiver factory. Amari Cooper kind of started that here, and as they made the transition to more of an offensive team than A.J. McCarron era. Well, you look at Amari Cooper, again, he's got the quarterback issue. We're not sure how long Deshaun Watson's out. Right now it's 6, it could be 8, it could be 12, it could be the whole season, it could be Jacoby Brissett in there. But the other thing you have to weigh about Amari Cooper, who else are they throwing to in Cleveland right now? It doesn't matter who's going to be a target monster. Amari Cooper's an excellent route runner. You got Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's a big play threat. You have Anthony Schwartz, he's a big play threat. You got David Bell, he is a nice big slot potentially, but he's a rookie out of Purdue. You got David Njoku, pretty inconsistent as a receiver over the years from tight end. Amari Cooper's going to eat up targets on this team, and I think Brissett is capable of getting it to one receiver here. It's not Brissett is totally incompetent. And again, the Browns might be in tough situations here. I mean, I look at Brissett and the volume going to go towards Cooper, it's going to be pretty high. And I think you'll see that continue with Deshaun Watson. I think Watson will get more of the guys involved that can make big plays like Donovan Peoples-Jones. But when you see that history that Deshaun Watson has, especially with DeAndre Hopkins and feeding a veteran receiver often, that could actually happen here again with Amari Cooper. So if Watson plays, then Cooper gets a bump up here and the suspension stays at 6 games. Jeudy does get Wilson, but again, you got Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon in the running game. You got some other weapons here. Sutton is a clear number one here on the outside. Tim Patrick's injury helps a little bit, but Amari Cooper's helped by just a lot of vacant targets. Not much else there. No Jarvis Landry, no Odell Beckham Jr. None of that. Any of those receivers of veteran quality here with the Browns. So I think Cooper can get it done just by being the default number one with high volume, where Jerry Jeudy is going to be number two at best here in a situation, and the Broncos may not throw enough to our liking. I think the Browns will have to throw enough, and then you'll see a spike there with Cooper, assuming Watson can play some games here in 2022 as well. So keep that in mind. So I'm going to Amari Cooper. I think over the long term, he'll be better. Jerry Jeudy and Cooper, their numbers might be similar early if it's Brissett. But you get Watson in there, it can go up. And at some point, Brissett is going to facilitate Cooper. Again, a very good route runner, good hands. He's going to get open all over the field. Short to intermediate routes to help Brissett quite a bit more than Njoku and other targets there for the Browns. Our final wide receiver debate that we'll take on today's show, and this is part of our rankings and what we're thinking about here on the clock, but this is fun to do. It's a good exercise to also make these decisions a little bit easier instead of waiting there at the last minute on the fly to make them. You're going in prepared with your drafts, and you know the calls are right there for you. So the last one we'll explore here, and I think we could add a third person to this, but I'll start with being conservative, Elijah Moore versus Gabriel Davis. Year 3 buzz for Gabriel Davis, big playoffs with the scoring and all that. Elijah Moore didn't matter about the Jets quarterback carousel, produced flash big time as the Jets receiver, clearly is the number one. Gabriel Davis is the Bills' number two behind Diggs here in 2022. He's expected to have big things happen on the outside. The breakout is coming with Josh Allen. Again, so do you attach yourself to one very explosive AFC East offense, even though you have a lesser player, or the alpha eating up targets a la Cooper for the Jets? But one thing is the Jets are not totally hopeless here with the targets. They have Corey Davis. You got the rookie first-round pick, Garrett Wilson. That's quite a bit of competition here for targets. I don't think Moore can have the same level of what we're expecting in eating up the targets the way that a Cooper or Lamb can have in their situation. So Moore's going to be quite a bit involved here. I like Elijah Moore, however, in this debate, because I think the volume of the receptions is going to be there. He's going to be all over the field. He can go up and get the ball. Gabriel Davis is going to be a bit capped because of Stephon Diggs, not just because of him. There's other weapons here, including James Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, Dawson Knox. I think Davis will have a fine year and will give nice return with wide receiver 2 potential from wide receiver 3. But I think Elijah Moore has that more comfortable floor as a wide receiver 2 again, the talent is pretty equal to me. They're different types of talents. Moore is like that versatile guy that can run all over the field. Davis is just that classic outside threat that you can look at. Again, catch radius, being able to finish the red zone. I'd say Davis has a good shot to finish with more touchdowns here this season, but I think Moore is a better bet for the higher volume of receptions and yardage. So I think it's going to be pretty close when you look at the overall scoring. I love both of these guys there. Now, I think I'd take Elijah Moore a little bit ahead of Gabriel Davis in half point and full point PPR. If it's a standard league, I think I might like Davis a little bit more. So it's pretty close, but I like both these guys with wide receiver two upside. The last question we have here is about Rashad Bateman. How does he fit in the mix? He's also second year player with Elijah Moore. To me, I do like Moore and Davis a little bit more. I do like Bateman quite a bit, but I think these are the wide receiver three values you can target. Moore, I think, again, can be the alpha, and the talent is there, so he kind of blends everything there, and the Jets' passing game will be a little bit better than expected. Davis is the higher end, so between Davis and Bateman, it's a tough call for me. I'll be feel comfortable with either if I can get his wide receiver three. Again, Bateman should have targets, but he is also battling Mark Andrews the way that Gabriel Davis is working opposite Diggs here. So a lot of interesting things to look at here with the offense of the Bills and Jets and Ravens, different style of offense. And that's the hardest thing when you're debating against wide receivers. You got to consider the quarterback. You got to consider the offense, how much passing is going to go around there. So look at it. These situations are similar. Again, Davis would give you, I think, a comfortable floor, but I think Moore has a little bit higher there. And Gabriel Davis might have the higher ceiling than Moore, so that's how you weigh it. Rashad Bateman is kind of in between here, these two guys for me. So I still would take Bateman later simply because the Ravens in their passing offense are not going to have the highest volume. They're going to play from ahead in a lot of games. They're still run dedicated team. So I would go more Davis Bateman if I were making the picks here in fantasy in that order as wide receiver threes with some genuine upside here as youngsters in 2022. All right, there you have it. There's a breakdown of six notable wide receiver draft debates that we're going to have on the clock at different stages in the draft and interesting decisions we'll have to make. And we've been doing that all week. So if you missed our look at the quarterbacks or running backs, do that. We also gave you our sleeper values by position, underrated players by ranking ADP. So it's been a pretty big week as we continue our draft prep for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. We again will close the week with tight ends. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Now make your second listen. Locked On NFL, our experts breaking down the reality perspective of the league 5 days a week, just like this show. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll close the week looking at our tight end draft debates there on Friday.